Come on.
Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Tim Bratz. Tim, are you ready to do this?
George, let's do it, buddy. I appreciate you having me, man.
Excellent. Let's do this. Tim is the CEO of CLE Turnkey Real Estate, a real estate investment company that acquires and transforms distressed commercial and apartment buildings into high-performance investment assets. I'm excited to have you on. Tim, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, thanks again for having me, man. I really appreciate all the value and content that you put out there and the value you add to people's lives by doing this. So big shout out to you.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, my background's in I was going through college when the market was going gangbusters, 03 to 07. Back, whatever it was, 10, 15 years ago, and everybody was making money in real estate. And that's kind of what motivated a 20-year-old kid at the time. And I decided to get involved in real estate myself. And, you know, didn't really know what I was doing. So my brother lived out in New York City. I moved out to New York, became a commercial real estate agent. And so I brokered leases for businesses that wanted to expand their location, or I'd help a landlord market their retail space. And so I remember brokering one space. It was 400 square feet, the first thing I ever brokered out there. And 400 square feet in Manhattan, in Greenwich Village, cool, trendy little area. But he signed a lease for $10,000 a month, this wow. little 400 square feet. And 12-year term, you know, there were escalations every single year. And this guy was essentially making about $2 million for doing something at one point in time, not to mention the other seven retail spaces and the 15 stories of apartments above it. And I just realized, man, I'm on the wrong side of the coin. I need to be owning real estate. And so, you know, I kind of took my lumps and stumbled forward. I've been in real estate for about 10 years now, and really only good for about the past three. Like, really struggled a lot in the first few years, and got involved in flipping houses, made some money at it, and then, you know, just kind of failed forward. And, you know, you get punched in the gut enough times, and you just don't give up on it. You know, I always realize that real estate has created more millionaires than any other industry. And really, since the dawn of civilization, wealth has been measured in land ownership. And so I knew that real estate wasn't an experiment. I knew that anybody who made money either made it in real estate, or they made it somewhere else and then put it in real estate. So I knew that eventually it would work if I just kept my head down, didn't look left, didn't look right, and just kept on working and working and doing the same thing over and over again. And eventually, you know, that snowball effect catches up, and you start getting a lot of momentum. And so that's kind of what's happened for me. I've done everything from single family, you know, high-end flips, low-end flips, stuff you see on HGTV. I've done a lot of turnkey single family rentals, and then got into apartment buildings about 5-6 years ago, and just saw how much more scale there was and how it kind of met my long-term investment objectives, my long-term investment goals, and just kind of doubled down on that for the past like 2-3 years. And so today, fast forward, I have just shy of 2,000 rental units, wow. apartments. I have everything from 10 unit buildings up to 200 unit buildings across five different states, and portfolio value of about $145 million. That's not my net worth, but that's how much all my real estate's worth.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit of debt on that and some partners and that kind of stuff. But it's generated an eight-figure net worth for me. So it's exciting stuff.
Well, congratulations. So you mentioned that you moved to New York. Where did you move from?
I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. So the land, and grew up in Cleveland, went to school in Ohio, moved out to New York City, lived there for about a year and a half. And then I lived down in Charleston, South Carolina for about 5 years, just for kind of a weather type thing. And love that. But then love is a many splendored thing. Took me back to Cleveland. There to go from Cleveland. So been back in Cleveland for about 6 years now. But I travel a lot. I'm down in Florida right now as we're talking for the winter time. And I have some vacation rentals down here. And so, you know, it's cool that real estate allows you to have that kind of lifestyle as well. As long as you have internet and phone, you can pretty much do this business from anywhere if you have the right systems and people in place.
Nice. Okay. So you mentioned that you work in five states. Is it concentrated, or tell me, tell me where those states are or which states they are. Right,
Ohio, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Texas. And I'm buying some properties in Oklahoma also in the next 90 days. So I'm in 5-6 states right now. And what I typically do, as you reach these different levels in business, people are like, if I can just get to that level, I'm going to be all set. And what they don't realize is like, there's just different levels of problems, you know, and issues that you reach when you hit those different levels. And so, when you're doing that $0 to $1 million in gross revenue, you're just trying to, figure out like proof of concept type stage and trying to build your business and figure out, can I actually make money doing this? And then when you get to that million to maybe 10 million a year in revenue, you're at a phase where you start hiring all these people, you understand the value in human capital, but at the same time, you don't have enough money to hire those like C-level executives, like a chief operating officer, a chief financial officer, or a chief investment officer. And so you're kind of in this flux stage where it really gets difficult, or a chief human resources officer. And then all of a sudden you're doing some of these really high-level jobs, and it takes you out of, you know, why you started that business in the first place. And so I found myself there a little over a year ago and realized like, I need to get the hell out of this phase as soon as I possibly can. And how can I do that? So I found in life, you start asking good questions, you start getting good answers, you start asking better questions, you start getting better answers. And I kind of went down this thought process of how can I attract, you know, multiple six figure a year talent without having to pay them multiple six figures. And so I kind of creatively did it in a way that I pay pretty much a base salary to a COO and now a chief investment officer who's an attorney, handles all my securities documentation, all my investor relations type stuff. And I was able to track these multiple six-figure talents by giving them a base salary and then giving them profit share in my business, or even like a little bit of equity in each deal consecutively that we did. So it was able to build their balance sheet, be able to build up their net worth, because that's what their long-term goal set was too. And I was able to kind of frame it that way, where now they're taking equity in all these different deals. And it allows me to attract high quality talent, where now I can go travel the world and do whatever I want, whenever I want, wherever I want to. And I know my business is in good hands because I have these highly capable individuals running my company. And it doesn't cost me anything more than about $50,000 a year for each of their salaries, you know? So it's super powerful that we've been able to make that transition, and it's really allowed me to go and focus on my unique ability, which is more the marketing piece and kind of some investor relations and building those relationships. And I do a lot of the education side of things too, where I teach people how to invest in apartment buildings. And from that, naturally, there's people who either want to joint venture with us or they want to lend private capital to us. And so I'm able to kind of, you know, build those relationships, and that's what I enjoy doing too. So it's been a cool transition in the business, and now I'm really in a position where I love what I do. I'm not doing the adult babysitting kind of stuff,
right?
And it's good. So but I guess back to your original, how do I operate in all these different states, is we have an in-house property management that can handle pretty much most property management remotely, but from right there in Cleveland, Ohio. So we can do utilities and rental applications and rent collection and maintenance phone calls and all that. And then we usually have a joint venture partner who comes from my educational platform that is trained. They know what they're doing. They're a great operator, usually in the single family realm. They're just trying to scale up into maybe apartment buildings. And we partner up with them in an equity standpoint. They have equity in the deal. They're in Texas or in Oklahoma or wherever the project may be. And we find a great operator locally there. And then they're boots on the ground for us. So they're helping out with all the day-to-day on-site type management stuff, or overseeing that on-site property manager and overseeing the local contractors and all that kind of stuff. So it's a way that we've been able to build our business without having to take on more overhead or without having to take on too much more staff. And so again, the same type of concept in hiring the COO, hiring the chief investment officer, now with these joint venture partners, it allows me to, you know, instead of having 100% of a grape, I can have a quarter of a watermelon. And a quarter of a watermelon has a lot more juice in the squeeze than 100% of a grape. Does that
right.
make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
So all right. I think by taking that abundance mentality, you're able to, you know, rising tide floats all boats, and 1 + 1 = 3. in that regard.
Yeah, I think that definitely makes sense. So you talked about how you sort of start leveling up and realizing, okay, I thought that I was going to be happier here, or I thought that maybe this was just what I was shooting for, but then you realize, well, there's bigger problems or bigger opportunities. Is it a matter of different light bulbs sort of turned on? You say, okay, I kind of get this, and now I can see how to scale this and how to maybe start forming these joint venture partnerships to scale that way. And I guess the next question is, how did you figure that out? Do you learn things easily, or did it take you just a ton of time and effort to figure it out?
Great questions.
How'd you do it?
Yeah. So, you know, you hear about, you know, you got to be smart in business, and book smart is important, but I think emotional intelligence and having self-awareness and social awareness and reflection on life experiences and circumstances will take you so much further than book smarts. And a lot of you see a lot with entrepreneurs and multi-millionaires and billionaires who never graduated from college, or they were C students in high school, or whatever that looks like. And so I was a good student, but I realized that the people who are really successful in life are very aware of circumstances and other people's feelings and, you know, all the concepts that you read about, and like How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And they're very good at those kinds of things. And so I started reflecting a lot on experiences whenever I would get super frustrated, or a big win would occur, or whatever. I look back and I'm like, how did we get to that phase? How were we able to make that happen? And I started doing this on a quarterly basis of just sitting back, taking a day, unplugging, looking at my business, looking at my goals, and just kind of asking myself, like, what's getting us closer to our long-term vision? What's taking up too much of our time? Where are we getting the highest return on our time? And like one of those, and every time I sat down on a quarterly basis, and I used to do it like yearly, and then I started doing it quarterly, and now I do it pretty much on a monthly basis. I'm always asking myself, like, how can we move the needle forward and eliminate any of the noise, trim some fat from the business, And by asking yourself those kinds of questions, again, it develops better answers. And so every time I sit down and I ask myself that question, especially on a quarterly basis, or I take an entire day to reflect, I have these crazy quantum leaps in business. And I'll give you an example. One of them was about a year and a half ago, maybe a little over a year and a half ago. I was flipping about 100 houses a year, actively churn and burn them. It was a ton of work. And We were making money, but we weren't, you know, getting wealthy from that. And I had a partnership in probably 350 apartment units that I was pretty passively a partner on. And I sat back about a year and a half ago, and I looked at my business, and I looked at where we were generating all of our money, where we were generating all of our wealth, what was taking up the most amount of our time, where we were spending our time. And I realized apartment buildings were 10% of our time and 90% of my wealth. And I was like, man, what if we just shifted all of our efforts from all the single family nonsense we're dealing with right now? And what if we just moved it over to apartments? What could that do? And I'll give you an example of what it did. By making that shift and literally burning the ships, I told my team, we're not buying anything else single family, whatever we have in the pipeline, see it through. And then we're only looking at multifamily apartment building deals moving forward. By making that kind of a commitment to the universe, it's funny how the universe responds. All of a sudden, the only deals we came across were apartment buildings.
Nice.
And I grew my portfolio in the past 18 months. I'm up to 1,900 units today. You know, so by making that dedication to the universe, I clicked another, what was it, another, I don't know, 1,600 units in the past year and a half.
Wow.
Just by making that declaration, you know, and pivoting my team. So instead of looking at single family, we started looking at apartment buildings. My project manager, instead of renovating houses, he started renovating apartments. My dispositions guy, who was selling houses, just started managing our assets. And it was a very easy shift, pretty easy pivot that we made in business, and it created just dramatic results. And so, again, just in the past 12 months, increased my net worth by 8 figures by being able to do that. And, you know, we expect to pick up another 2,500 units this year because of the momentum that built because of it as well. So it's really powerful the way that this stuff can play out if you just draw a line in the sand and you figure out what your long-term goal is and and then take a look at where you are now. You can't get to a destination unless you have a roadmap to get there. So you got to know what your destination is, and then you can reverse engineer the route that makes the most sense for you based on your skill set, your unique abilities, your team, your core competencies, and the route to take in order to get you to that destination.
Yeah, I appreciate everything you just said, and it makes sense to me, and I think to a degree it probably answered my next question. I know that you're very passionate about educating and empowering entrepreneurs who are interested in following a similar path to getting passive income and financial freedom. So somebody who's listening says, you know, this all sounds great. How do I even get started?
Sure. I got started the old school way. I bought a house. I fixed it up. I flipped it. I bought another house. And then I fell into, a triplex. And then I bought an 8-unit apartment building. I bought another 8-unit. Bought a 14-unit, 23, a 30. And then I got into an 80-unit. And so I just kind of organically grew it and did it that way. That's one way to do this. Another way is to partner up with somebody who's already been there. And so I didn't even know that there were people called sponsors out there in commercial real estate who could help you get loans on big 100, 150, 200 unit apartment building deals. And they kind of coach and mentor you and do all that kind of stuff. And so I'm pretty active on social media. I try to give as much as I possibly can because I'm a big believer that, again, rising tide floats all boats. And I think wealth is limitless. It's like sunshine, like you getting sunshine, George, doesn't take any sunshine away from me.
Right.
As much sunshine as you want, it doesn't stop me from getting any sunshine. I think wealth is very similar to that. And a lot of people, they hold their cards real close to their chest on how they do deals and how they do all that stuff because they're afraid of creating competitors. And what I realize is when I share a lot of content on Facebook, for instance, it doesn't create competitors. It creates joint venture partners. The amount of deal flow that I get or the amount of people who want to invest in projects with me is unbelievable. And naturally, I get a lot of people who say, hey, man, can I pay you to mentor me? Can I pay you to coach me? And I was never really big into like that guru space or because it was always sleazy type sales type stuff. And eventually I just kind of put a couple of people in a room. I did an event of like 15, 16 people last year in like April, and it was gangbusters and people really enjoyed it and made a massive impact on their lives. They're buying apartment buildings within 90 days from then. And I realized like this is something that I got to share, and had the right people approach me with the right values and the right thought process that really meshed with what I wanted to do. And so we created a program called Commercial Empire. So, we do that. CommercialEmpire.com. If anybody's interested in learning about investing in apartment buildings, just go to CommercialEmpire.com and fill out the application. My team will reach out and tell you about like whenever we have events. But we usually do them about on a quarterly basis. And, it teaches A to Z of how to invest in apartment buildings. And so people can go out and do it on their own. Or if they want to kind of scale up and do it faster, I love joint venturing. Like that's my long-term business model, is to help other people build wealth. And in return, it builds my wealth without me having to take on more overhead, kind of like what I talked about before. So that's the whole business model now, man. It works out really, really well. I got an event actually this week and about 120 people coming out from all over the country and even a couple people internationally. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
I love it. Well, Tim, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Oh, man. I would make sure you're setting goals. Make sure you figure out what your long-term goal is in the next 10, 20 years, and then reverse engineer a path to get there. And the other thing that I would do is either find a mentor or join a mastermind group. By doing that, as I mentioned earlier, is, you hit these different levels in business. And by going out to an event one time or doing something once and meeting with a mentor one time, it'll help you push through that glass ceiling that you're facing right then. But naturally, once you get past there and you get that next step, there's going to be another issue or something that you come across, another little hurdle that you're going to have to push through again. And by having mentors and being in a group of other like-minded entrepreneurs and hanging out in that type of capacity, man, it puts you on the fast track to success. And they're able to say, hey, I went through that about a year and a half ago. Here's what I did. Here's what I also did that I wish I didn't do. Let me kind of help streamline this for you and fast track you to success. And that has been instrumental in my success. I believe so much in masterminds. I'm a member of 5 different mastermind groups.
Nice.
So I'm at an event every single month, and it allows you to work on, you know, high level strategic working on your business versus in your business. So that would be a huge takeaway. If there's one thing you get from this, it'd be, you know, join a mastermind group or find a local mentor that you meet with at least on a quarterly basis.
I think that is great stuff that definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
And Tim, thank you so much for coming on the show. You mentioned commercialempire.com, but where else can people engage with you?
Facebook. I'm big on Facebook. Hit me up on Facebook. I actually respond to all the messages that people send me on Facebook. So if you guys got questions, I'm a giver. I'm happy to help out any way that I can, and at least point you in the right direction on you know, wherever you want to go. So George, dude, I really appreciate you, man. Thank you for having me on here.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. So on Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Tim your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Find him on Facebook. I will list that in the notes of the show, as well as commercialempire.com. Thank you again, Tim.
George, appreciate you, bud.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on!